message, enduring and overcoming much tribulation. Let's say it together, enduring and overcoming much tribulation. I would say through much tribulation we enter the kingdom. And believe me, folks, that's not an exaggeration. It's going to be much tribulation. But there's a reason why, and then thank God that we have been taught by the grace of God very well to know how to act in the time of tribulation. So I bring a word of exhortation here. I suffer ye this short word of exhortation, as the Apostle Paul said. And I believe that the Lord has laid this word upon my heart today as a message to ginger us up, so to speak. I don't know if any of us has been experiencing some changes and some challenges and difficulties in the level of opposition you've been experiencing the past couple of weeks. Amen. Things have been changing around the Spirit very rapidly. And we see evidence of that. The tempo of events has actually changed, really. You see that recent attack in Israel by Hamas, it's a sign, it's a physical sign of an uptick in the spiritual tempo of what the enemy is trying to do. He's desperate now, trying to stop the rolling of the clock, the moving of the clock. He's seeing the things that are going on. We can't see everything, but he sees it all. And he knows that he has but a very short time. So he's kicking up a fuss and he's kicking up this and that. And the truth of the matter is, as it is designed to hinder what God is doing in the nation of Israel naturally, there's also a spiritual complement, amen, that is also targeted at the church. Amen? First the natural, then the spiritual. They go together. Many times you find out what happens in natural Israel is also being replicated in spiritual Israel. Amen? That is the church of God. So I won't say God revealed it to him, but it's been something that's been on my mind recently. And the reason is because I have noticed with that uptick of an attack on Hamas, by Hamas on Israel, there's been, in my personal life, a bit of an uptick in the level of, I won't say tribulation, I'll say opposition. It's as if somehow that particular event is somehow linked to some things. And I'm like, Lord, what's going on, you know? And, you know, it was so interesting. When I asked the Lord, he says, well, you are spiritual Israel. Natural Israel is under siege. It's not a single thing, and then one. It's a two-pronged attack. The devil is trying to hinder, or if possible, totally remove natural Israel. Why would he tolerate spiritual Israel if he can remove it? He will certainly will do that. So it's not up to him. I mean, it's more like you. You need to up your game, so to speak. You need to up the game. You need to up your scale of, you know, what you do in order to resist the devil, that he may flee from you. Amen? And so it's on the basis of that that I believe the Lord gave me this word. It's true. I believe it's myself personally, but I also thought, well, if God said that to me, perhaps there are some people here who are experiencing what I'm experiencing. I thought maybe it might be a help to all of us here to understand that the times we're living in are not normal times. I think we can already say that just looking at all what's going on in the world. Troublous time. Tempestuous is probably more like times. But, you know, we're not to be afraid. We are to respond in the Spirit, not in fear. Amen. So I believe that that's what's happening. And so let's start. Let's give you Psalms 122, verse 6. I remember it came to me. I'm not sure exactly what it says. Yes, verse 6. This is it now. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sake, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. Now that's the natural Israel, but there's also a spiritual Israel. And we are bonded together in the realm of the Spirit by our common affiliation through the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. So as I was praying, and this thing came to me, and I saw this, and I said, wow, this might be a word that everybody can, you know, relate to. We can see Scripture coming to pass. It's not a conjecture anymore. It's not something we're waiting to happen. Isaiah chapter 19, we say it every morning. Isaiah chapter 19, 23, 25, that's where we are in the annals of the church, you know, the church with Israel and the church also. It says, now there shall be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria. And Assyria shall come into, okay, I know why I said this now. And Assyria shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, And Egyptians shall serve with the Assyrians. Next verse. In that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land. Next verse, I want to bring something out of this. Whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people. You can actually see that happening. Egypt is on Israel's side. They don't say that officially, but all they've been doing so far has been clearly to, overtly help, at least augment the efforts of Israel. They're not fighting Israel. They're not even saying anything against Israel anymore. Somebody laughed. They've learned their lesson. Eh? It is hard for you to kick at the pricks. But look at this. Say, Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands. Which is that there's still a work going inside Assyria. Some of those guys, they don't get the message yet. But God is going to keep working on them until they get the message. By hook or by crook, they're going to get the word. The work of my hands, and Israel, of course, we are the inheritance of the Lord. That just came out when I was preparing for this message. I said, wow, isn't God wonderful? So he's got those who are already in, they're blessed. But there are some that he's working on now assiduously to bring out the people from them also. And he will have his crop from there. Amen. But this scripture, this fulfillment, in my personal humble opinion, is what the devil is trying to stop through Hamas. But they are filled. You know what I mean? Both in Hamas and in the church. Amen? Amen. Oh. You can join us. If you're not sure, just join us on Good Morning Jesus every morning. You will get like an update of what's going on as we pray each morning. What's going on? I mean, it's always so interesting that you say something and it comes to pass the day or the day after. It's amazing. So I believe that there's a time, this time, Israel is going much greater degree of tribulation because of the divine mandate now God has given to birth the first fruits of the Zion church in the earth. And Isaiah 66 verse 8 says, shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as travail, she brought forth her children. Something just hit me again. Shall a nation be born at once? What nation is that? We know that's the church. But hello, out of Israel, God is also going to come out sons and daughters. So that application is to the church, of course. But because it is also speaking about a nation, there's a nation, Israel, that needs a complete rebirth. And it's going to happen. We're going to see it. We see the evidence in the book of Revelation, 144,000 virgins. But they're not going to be the only ones. I believe as we're talking now, God is already working in Israel itself to bring a harvest of people. They're not necessarily going to be 144,000, but there are going to be a lot of Jews who are going to get born again as a result of this conflict. Mark my words. I don't know if I'm prophesying, but I just believe that right now. It just came to me. And said, so shall a nation born at once, a son of Zion travail, she brought forth her children. Amen. And those children also come from this land in part, from the land beyond the rivers of Ethiopia, where the rivers divide. Give me Isaiah chapter 18, verse 1, and then verse 7. Help me, Lord. Woe to the land shadowing with wings. Give me this in the NKJV. Yeah, NKJV, please. There's something that I believe the Lord showed me. Yes. Woe to the land shadowed with buzzing wings, which is beyond the rivers of Ethiopia. Okay, now go to verse 7 in the same NKJV. Thank you. In that time, shall a present will be brought to the Lord of hosts from a people tall as smooth of skin, perfected. And from a people terrible from the beginning onward. Now get this. A nation powerful and treading down. What does that mean, treading? In other words, it's not just powerful, but also when a nation arises, everything is under its feet. We're going to be, Nigeria is destined to fulfill this. When you tread something down, it means it's beneath you. It means that you're going over that thing you tread down. And who are this nation? Where is this nation? Whose land the rivers divide to the place of the name of the Lord of hosts to Mount Zion. Hello, Nigeria may have arisen, but we're not yet treading down. Nigeria's going to tread. That is going to be a mighty, mighty, mighty nation. That's why the devil is fighting all this thing. Amen? Again, give me Isaiah. Verse 7. Is this all? Yeah, okay, yes. I've written it here. Thank you. Verse 7 says, a people taught. That's spiritual stature. You understand that? Smooth skin. Perfect. No spot. No blemish. Any such thing. You're covered. Totally. No wrinkle. Thank you, Pastor. Now, this is, it says, I like this one. It says, a nation powerful and trading down. An aggressive nation. What's the one thing that everybody says about Nigerians all over the world? They don't agree. We're not afraid. Nigeria will talk to you face to face. Yeah, you're not going to intimidate Nigerians. Very easy. It says, undaunted, unflappable. Amen? And they come to Mount Zion, the place of perfection and beauty. Said, my son, give me, says he bring gifts to me. I don't know which the one I had is a little different from this one. Because it says here, it says, he will bring gifts to Mount Zion, the place of my son. I said, my son, give me your heart. And let thine eyes above my ways. Proverbs 36. Anyway, the essence is God. He said that. Nigeria, the emergence of the first fruits of the Zion Church is a major reason for all we are going through in tribulation, in this present land, in this, that I talked about, this present distress. But by the mercy of God, every one of us have signed on to this. Only one amen. I said, by the mercy and grace of God, we've all signed on to it. Don't worry, our heritage is sure, eh? We have signed on. And we are committed to endure all the tribulation. Thank you. And to be part of the First Fruits Church. We are pioneers, folks. Pioneers in God's purposes in the end time. That's a great title. Pioneer of the end time purposes of God. And the truth is that there are many in the Bible who have been privileged. It's not everyone that gets to be a pioneer. Pioneer means you're starting something afresh, never before seen. Oh. Never before seen. I don't know where that came from. But the essence, to pioneer, you must be the first of the first. Like, for example, the Lord Jesus, a pioneer in his time. Joseph pioneered the first, the beginning of the return of Israel back to the land of Israel, to the promised land that God gave him. Amen? Adam, of course, was a pioneer. Moses, Joshua, Jacob. Now, some had better success than others. For example, Samson was supposed to be a pioneer, but he didn't do very well. But he finished well, which, thank God, he's in the book of the heroes of Israel. But the essence is, pioneering work is a very, very privileged work and a very delicate work at the same time. But I want to thank God for the one example God kept bringing back to me as I was just ruminating this morning upon this. And that is the example of Apostle Paul. Now, if there ever was a pioneer, that is one. Apostle Paul. I believe that guy is in a class of his own. I don't know if there's a class in heaven reserved for people like Apostle Paul, but what this guy went through, wow. Pattern, thank you, Pastor. Pattern disciple, Pattern disciple. He went through serious tribulation. He took everything. Now, it wasn't easy. There was one time I remember he was actually dead. And God raised him up. And instead of running the other way, he went back into the town. So that's the kind of doggedness that, I believe with all my heart, some of us are going to exhibit in this day we're in. Dogged adherence to God, no matter what. Hey, though he slay me, yes, but I trust him. That's Paul. So that's why Paul is the pattern disciple. Thanks for that injection, Pastor. So I believe he's a class of his own because he went through great tribulation. But in the process of tribulation, he was allowed by God to pen the divine revelation of how to endure tribulation and temptation for us who are following after him. Amen? Let's read. Let's go to, I think, a key scripture. It's 2 Corinthians 11. 2 Corinthians 11, 23, 28. Or maybe we should just... Okay, let's read it. Because when I read it, I said, my goodness, this guy had something else burning inside him. 2 Corinthians 11. That's why he's such a wonderful guy to follow. Yes. Would you to God? Now, he doesn't want to boast. He actually does it in a reluctant way. He doesn't want to say anything. That's humility. That's meekness. But the Holy Spirit prompts him, so you'll be able to say, would to God you bear me a little bit in my foolishness, my folly. And indeed, bear with me. Next verse. For I'm jealous of you with godly jealousy. Now, this is the reason why I'm doing this. For I have espoused you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. Talking about the Corinthians. Next verse. Next verse. Okay. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Next verse. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom you have not preached, or if you receive another spirit which you have not received, or another gospel, three another's there. Oh. Okay. Which you have not received, or which you have not accepted, you might well bear with him. Next verse. For I suppose I, now he doesn't like it. He just has to do this. So I suppose I was not a whit behind the very chiefest of apostles and got a stand to the scripture. But though I be rude in speech, yet not in knowledge, but we have been thoroughly made manifest among you in all things. Apostle Paul, this is his manifesto, so to speak. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that you might be exalted because I preached the gospel of God freely? Next verse. I robbed other churches, taking wages of you. You can feel the indignation when he's talking to the Corinthians. The Corinthians had a lot of problems. I believe that's why he did this. Next verse. And when I was present with you, I was chargeable to no man, for that which was lacking to me, the brethren which came from Macedonia supplied, that's the Philippian church. And all things I've kept myself from being burdensome unto you, and so will I keep myself. Next verse. And the truth in Christ, let me just stop there for a minute. But you get where I'm going. The essence is that he was so agitated by the fact that all that he had been able to tell the Corinthians, with all the demonstrations of the power of God, all that, these people were still babies. They were still recalcitrant in many of the things they were being taught. They were still stuck to the floor level. So he said, look, all this I'm doing it because, not because I want anything, but because of you. Say, I can boast, but I'm not going to boast because it's not you. It's not that boast. It's you I seek as my children. And this is the attitude we all must have, folks, to succeed in this end time. It's not about you, folks. It's not about me. It's not about anything that pertains unto us individually or collectively. It's all about him. Purpose. Divine purpose. Divine purpose and purpose alone. And it's a mentality we got to have, folks. Lord, have mercy upon us. So how did Paul do it? How did he do it? And by the help of God, how are we to do it in the light of Paul's experience as our forerunner or our pattern? Again, I want to encourage and thank Pastor and Mommy. There's no way you can write, preach a message like this without remembering their quality lives, the example, the different, thank you, doggedness of following after Christ, whatever it costs. And it's been costly sometimes, but they're still here. And we want to thank them for the example. Amen? And I want to just indulge everybody to keep this in mind always. There's a scripture that came to me. I think we can find it. I think it's in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I just scribbled it as I was writing. 1 Corinthians 4:15. We need to bear this in mind. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15. For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. Fathers, for in Christ Jesus they have got begotten you and I through the gospel. Amen? Folks, that's what I was saying. I don't know what, he didn't say one. But you know, Paul is very self-effacing. He didn't say one, but he was talking about himself. So the ratio there is 1 to 10,000. One father to 10,000 instructors. That's massive. That's huge. There are many. You have not many, but he wasn't talking about many. He's talking about himself. Oh, what a great privilege. Anyway, let's continue. Apostle Paul wrote about his experience, and the Holy Spirit stamped it. You know, when he was writing, he didn't know he was writing scripture. He was just writing his experiences and what he had gone through as a testimony to what others should be willing to do in order to follow after him. He didn't know he was writing scripture. God didn't say, thou shalt write scripture. Hello? Even when he was in Rome, he was still writing. He didn't say, thou shalt write. He was just thanking people. Ah, thanking this guy. Oh, what you did. Oh, thank you so much. He was giving, last-minute instructions so that others could follow after him. There's nowhere in his mind that I believe the Lord could have told you, you're writing a Bible that will be read by hundreds of millions of people throughout the ages. He was just writing what was in his heart. What a great privilege. Let's give a little clap of him for Paul. I think he deserves it. I believe with all my heart. But here's the essence. He wrote about the experience, and the Holy Spirit stamped it as scripture. Let's look at Acts first. Acts chapter 14. Give me verse 21. Help me, Lord. Oh, glory, hallelujah. This is what his experience. Acts 14, 20. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and Antioch. This is his first missionary journey. Next verse is where I'm going. Confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. And that we, him and them, and us, that we resonates throughout the ages. That we, through some, a little, as much as you can possibly bear, much. That word resonates throughout the ages. That through much tribulation, we enter the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. Or come into the dominion of the Lord King Jesus over our minds, our wills, emotions, bodies, and circumstances to become as he is in heaven here on earth. Amen? So Apostle went through much or great tribulation. Amen? And, you know, we're looking at a sample of his... Go to 2 Corinthians 11, 23 again. 2 11, I wrote it twice, so there must be a reason why. 2 Corinthians 11, start from verse 23. Aha, this is what I was looking for. Yeah, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. I know I wrote it once, but I must have written it again by the Spirit because I didn't know it was there. Anyway, this is what the Apostle Paul was getting at. Thank you. This is his spiritual CV. May all spiritual CV be like this, though. Nobody said amen. No, I mean, you don't have to go, but to do exploits, folks, that's what I'm talking about. I wasn't going to go and, you know, be cast into the sea and spend, you know, no. But to be prepared, be hungry, be inspired by these words of the apostle, these eternal words. This is forever. These words can never be removed. Look what he says. Are they ministers of God? Talking, he says, I speak as a fool. He doesn't like to compare. He doesn't like to make himself high. He doesn't pump himself higher than he ought to be. He says, I speak as a fool. This is what I'm saying. I'm just speaking in simple foolishness. But he's talking scripture. I am more in laborers, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, often. And he's died not once, not twice. So what must I, couldn't have only been that one that we spoke about earlier, that he was left or dead. So he said, often. Of course, there's a dying to self every day. So that's a daily death. All of us should emulate this in Jesus' name. Thank you. Next verse. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, except once. So what, it won't be 41. Next verse. This is Paul. Thrice I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. Folks, these are serious, serious credentials. I'm not going to say what just popped into my mind, but let me just leave it like that. Next verse. In journeys, often. In perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, not only countrymen, heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. Next verse. This is Apostle Paul's example. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, he thought fasting and prayer on Tuesday was a bit much. In hunger. Now, hunger is not the same as watching. Hunger means he wants to eat, but there's nothing to eat. In thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Wow. Next verse. Glory, yeah. I mean, folks, why are these things written? Since they are written for our example, for us upon whom the ends of the world has. So you know what it takes. Now, I'm not saying we're going to go through that, but I'm saying what we need to do is be prepared if needed. And the grace of God will be sufficient, just like it was for him. It says, beside all things are without that which cometh up. No, this didn't affect his daily prayer. It did not affect his covering the churches that he was in charge of. Can you see what I'm saying, folks? Can you hear? Do you understand what I'm saying? which covered me daily the care of all the churches. Next verse. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is a fan and I burn not? Next verse. If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. This man is a wonderful man. The God, the Father, Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed forever, know that I lie not. Next verse. Let's see if I can finish this. In Damascus, we know what happened. But what I'm trying to say, this is his calling card for the ages. And God stamped it as scripture. Now, does God want you to do all this? No, not necessarily. But he wants you prepared, if necessary. He wants us, I didn't say you, I said us to be prepared, if necessary. Hello? How many of us listen to this, what we just spoken, God forbid, have suffered for doing righteousness like Paul? Not one. Folks, gird up your loins. Gird up your loins. Oh, look. The way of, in the Bible, they say the way of transgressors is hard. But you know what? The way of pioneers is even harder. When you're transgressing, you're in line with the power of the prince of the air. Because you're transgressing. But when you are a pioneer, you are at askance, in opposition to the power of the prince of the air, the power that works in the children of disobedience. So when you bring a word, they'll throw you in jail. They won't throw you in Jesus' name. When you say something, they'll stone you. That's why this man is such a great man. Let's give the Lord Paul and the Lord a clap of it. The way of pioneers is hard, folks. But thanks be to God that we have been given the revelation knowledge of how to perfect the love of God and God's character through by the grace of God, the pioneering writings of Apostle Paul, which our fathers have followed, are emulating, and are still following and emulating, bringing us also, as it brought Paul, into divine destiny in Christ. And much importantly, the manifestation of glory imminently. Amen? And so that's why Satan's cause are throwing everything out at the church. These people must not be perfect. These people must not finish their course. These people must not be able to be allowed to manifest their glory. Even though, as we all know, should know, it is written. It is written. Give me James 1:4. Excuse me, Lord. James 1:4. James 1. Thank you. James chapter 1, 2, verse 4. This is what we need to do. And we need to let patience. Patience there doesn't mean waiting. Or it doesn't mean waiting passively. Patience there means a consistent, continual, endeavoring effort. Patience, allowing that continuing, consistent, endeavoring work to have its perfect work. So that we, who have been destined to fulfill the glory, the manifestation of the sons of God, that word, the manifestation of the sons of God, will be perfect, entire, wanting nothing. Give me the next verse. Next verse. And it says, we lack wisdom, let's ask God. God will give unto all men liberty and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. Next verse, verse 4. But let's ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavers is like a wave of sea, driven with the wind and tossed. So, ask in faith. But the essence is, you don't turn back. You don't cringe at the challenge. You set your face like a flint and you keep going. And all the while you're stepping in faith, you're asking God, what's next? Lord, how do I do this? Lord, show me the way. Holy Spirit, please my help. That's how Paul did it. Constant communion. Because folks, we're going to enter some serious waters in this end time. You and I. Serious places. Well, they say, who is this? Try him. And it's not just going to... I think just flash from... How many men watch Prince of Egypt? You remember James, Janice, and Jambres? Those two guys, those big boys. Thank you, Pastor. Those big boys. There are a lot of big boys out there, and they will be allowed to check you out when you get to that level. Not before. But it's going to happen, folks. The devil is not going to watch you ride over his people. Because you say, hallelujah. That's why we're preaching this message. God have mercy upon us all. Amen? So this is it, folks. But we're to count it all joy when we fall into diverse trials and temptations, knowing that the working of his will in us will bring forth the glory and the goodness and the power of God to overcome every obstacle. Amen? All joy. The joy of the Lord is our strength. Through temptations, diverse temptations, poverty, lack, ill health, God forbid. No job. Government hasn't paid for 6 months. Oh, Lord have mercy. Yeah, it's amazing. So all this has come, folks, to try yours, our, my patience, and our consistency to determine to keep applying spiritual principles, spiritual weapons of our warfare. So trying to cause you to give up before the answer can come. I'll recycle that cartoon that I mentioned a few weeks ago that Pastor Ali used when Pastor Ali was helping us with, well, it was actually an editor in LifeLink way back then, you know, the sweet psalmist of scriptural pasture. He has this wonderful drawing ability. And there was this mountain. It was a cartoon, you know, talking about being consistent in prayer. There was this guy on one side, and he was groaning. And there was this mountain, right, steep mountain, was down the foot of the mountain. On the other side, however, there was activity, but a different sort. There's an angel with a heavenly shovel bulldozing, thank you, heavenly bulldozing, bulldozing that mountain as the guy was praying. He couldn't see anything on his side, though, but the angel was making the serious progress. But God forbid, this will not be yours or my experience, just before, just a little sliver left, the next bulldozer, the whole thing will come crashing down. And I got his answer. The guy said, nothing's happening. Okay, it's not working. And the angel said, don't go. You know, it stuck in my mind. Those are one of the things that, you know, really stuck in my mind. I said, may God have mercy. So you can actually get that close and still miss it. Lord, have mercy on us. Anything, nothing is worth it, folks. Until you see. Thank you, Pastor. Until you see him face to face. And then you not just see him, because they said, I'll see him far away. And before this, I said, he will say to you, well done, son. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. That's the scene I'm looking forward to. Hallelujah. So, all this tribulation, all this temptation, all these diverse, you know, different things are to test our patience, our consistency, and our diligence, the determination of our hearts to keep applying spiritual weapons of our warfare. So we just give up before the answer comes. Now, how is it that we do not give up? What must we do, help me Lord, in order to overcome all these tribulation trials of these times, to apprehend the benefits of the kingdom, and most important, to stand before the Son of Man in this day? First of all, is a mindset. Folks, you know, I've said it, but it's not as easy, because all kinds of things are sitting men's. It says men's hearts. That's the mind, men's heart. Failing them for fear what is coming upon the earth. What does that tell me? That says you cannot look at anything upon the earth when we're in this kind of situation. If it happens, if it doesn't happen, what you do, you set before you the word of God. Day and night, what does the word say? What are we supposed to do in this situation? There's a word for every possible scenario that the devil can bring to anybody's way. So, well, that means you must stay in the word. So even though you are seeing things live and direct, that's not my reality. That cannot be mine, because the word of God saith. And you keep saying, and you keep praying, and you keep saying, you know what? That reality will change. Folks, I'm telling you the truth. This is the way to fall. God is just having mercy upon me, because I want to show you that, folks, we're on a winning path. All we have to do is to stay with it. Not to be looking to the right, not to look to the left. Don't look away. Don't. Just face God. Undercover. Stay with it. We're victors. More than conquerors, the Bible says. Amen? So we are to cultivate this experience, using our experience with God to come into total dominion of the nature of God and the character of God in our minds, will, emotions, and our physical bodies. Amen? 1 Thessalonians 5:25. I wrote, give me this in the Amplified first. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, Amplified. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, help me Lord. Did I get it right? Where it says, may your whole, is it 24, 23, sorry, 23. Be 23. May your whole spirit, soul, and body. Yes. Now, this is it. Thank you. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you through and through. Oh, shakarakoto. Leave it. That is, separate you from profane and vulgar things, make you pure and whole and undamaged. All these are adjectives selected by the Holy Spirit to amplify what God is talking about. You know, he just says, take you through and through. And make you whole, pure and whole and undamaged, consecrated to him, set apart for his purpose. And may your spirit and soul and body be kept complete and be found blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought I'd just share that with us. I mean, KJV sounds good, but this sounds better. I don't know how much better. Amen? But the essence is God is faithful. He has called us, he's faithful, and will also do it. That's a promise. He's not going to relent. He will keep his word, but we must go. We're willing to go through the whole shebang. He says we must go through and endure what? March. And the tribulation is not to make us feel bad, but it's to remove what is hindering us from obtaining the fullness of all God wants for us. Amen? That sin nature that's intrinsic in all of us as men, because of the fall of man, we know the devil and all that. Amen? Pride and sin was found in Satan. So when Adam disobeyed God, he was separated from the Lord. We all know the story. But the essence is this. We're going to reverse that. That proud sin nature in Satan that was transferred to all of us men through Adam when he rebelled against God in the Garden of Eden is what is hindering what I just showed us now. That's it. We all know, but I'm saying that it's coming more and more to the fore now as we get closer and closer to the fulfillment. Why is that so? Because when things begin to show these things up, it's not that God doesn't want you to enter him, but he wants us to know the urgency, the absolute necessity, the urgency of the need to deal with all these little foxes that are still trying to spoil the vine. They will not succeed in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? And so because of this, God allows us to endure and experience much tribulations. Don't be afraid. And difficulties, so as in order to permanently rid us of all the pride, all the negative things, aspect caused by the sin nature in our minds, in our wills, and emotions. And so when we experience all these difficulties, both tribulations of physical, circumstantial pressures, it forces us, or this forces me, and it should you too also. You have to go back to God with great timidity and diligence and say, God, what happened? Why did it happen like that? Why is it possible that this kind of mishap or it may not be a great thing, it may not be a big thing, but we all know what I'm talking about. When you're supposed to do something and somehow it just slips you. Or when the word goes forth, wake up for good morning, Jesus, for 5 o'clock, and quarter to six, you are still awake, you're still sleeping. Now, it's not that you don't want to, but you don't. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not the absence of desire, it's the absence many times of the doing. Thank you, Pastor. Bless his week. So, but he's saying that happening does not have to endure. And the only antidote is to remove it from your physical body. Mind, will, emotions. So you think right, you see right, and you act right. Because your mind, your will, that's the will that you use to decide, make your decision, and your physical body are all in synchrony with the forces of God and out of synchrony with the force of the devil. It sounds all esoteric, but it's really very simple. And it comes through a desire. First of all, it comes through an understanding of what is required, what you need to be doing, and then a desire to fulfill it, come what may. Hello, somebody. Oh, Lord have mercy. So all this forces us to seek God, or should force us to seek God with greater humility, greater diligence. Amen. Humility then means accepting your mistakes, accepting that you didn't quite hit it. Don't sweep it under the carpet. Hello? Don't say, next time. Uh-uh. What happened this time? Thank you. Repentance on dead works. And not just repent, you also turn away. And then you exercise diligence, knowing that by the grace and mercy of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God is more than sufficient, you will make it. And you will surely make it if you deploy grace and mercy and you obey the dictates of the Holy Spirit. It says, grace and peace I think it's 2 Peter chapter 1. Grace and peace be what? Multiplied to us through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. Multiply what? By humility. By humility. Hello? Look at that. That's 1 Peter chapter, what's that? 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1, 2. I think, no, let's go to 1 Peter 5 and 6. Help me, Lord. 1 Peter 5 and 6. By humility. 1 Peter. This is how it's multiplied. This is how it is activated. No, this is 2 Peter. Give me 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 6. KJV, thank you. This is it. Humble yourselves. That word humble is not, unless you are really serious, it's a very, very, it's a word that hits you, and they say, I'm proud. You know, when God says humble yourself, he's telling you you're not humble. Or that you're not humble in your own self. Only in him. And for many people, that word can be a stumbling block. After all I've done. No, it's not that. It's not what you've done. It's how much of the sin nature you've managed to expunge from your mind, your will, and your emotions. There's no other way to humility, folks. As long as that nature is there, you cannot be humble. Or you will not be as humble to the degree that God wants it. So humble yourselves there. You have to do it. It's not him. He's not going to do it for you. You humble yourself. Under the mighty hand of God. Why? That he may exalt you in this time. Says Deuteronomy. Say that. Next verse. Casting. Now this is where God has helped us. Casting all your care upon him. Why? Because he cares. He loves you. He has destined for you to have an inheritance in Christ Jesus that fadeth not away. He's destined. Not only has he destined, he has prepared a place for you at his right hand to sit with him in throne forever. He cares. He wants you to succeed. He wants me to succeed. He wants us to know how much his love is. We don't know how much God loves us. We don't know yet. We have an inkling when we look at the Lord Jesus Christ. We have an inkling when we look at some of the fathers that have gone ahead. But you have not experienced that love to that degree. God's love is completely unfathomable. Completely interminable. So what shall separate us from the love of God that he showed us sending Jesus Christ? Nothing. Not in heavens, not in earth, not under the earth. Nothing. The only thing that can separate you from him is the sin nature in your mind, will, and emotions and flesh that cause you to disobey his commandments. So nobody can separate God from the love of God from you except yourself. God forbid. Folks, the devil cannot defeat us. That sounds like a parable, but it's the truth. He can't do it. We have to allow him to. Paul says, you are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. What does that mean? See, I'm not just a conqueror, you are more than a conqueror. So whatever God did not mean is of no relevance. If you will stay with the program, stay with him under authority, under covering, and get the sin nature out. I'm speaking to myself too, folks. I'm speaking to myself too. More than conquerors through Christ. That's always the evidence. Through Christ who loved us. Oh, I don't say, folks, don't let the devil defeat you by convincing you that God is not looking out for you. That's exactly what he wants you to feel. Ah, God, why do you allow this to happen? Instead of sobbing and crying, shake off your armor, shake your body from the dust, and get back on the firing line. That's what our fathers do. They've had their fair share. But you don't see pastors coming here to grope and grime and say, it's not even an issue. Back on the firing line. Get back and start doing firing. That's the only thing the devil's afraid of. He's not afraid of you. He's afraid of the God in you. So crack a shake and take care. The greater the God in us, the more we'll throw people fear in the hearts of the devil. And after a while, he just said, look, leave those guys. Leave that guy. Just leave him alone. Just leave him alone. He's gone. You can't touch him anymore. I'm looking forward to that day for myself. And so the more we humble ourselves and eschew pride and add diligence that is hindering us, the more we humble ourselves, more we under the Lord, the more God will lift us up out of tribulation into our purpose and destiny as spiritual kings in Christ Jesus. I'm not sure what this says, but it was good when I read it, so I'm going to quote it. Give me 2 Corinthians 7, verse 7. 7:7. Give me the ESV. 2 Corinthians 7:7. Not 1, 7, please. Can you have any ESV? There's a reason why I believe I wrote ESV. 2 Corinthians 7 says, do we have ESV? Salt version. Oh, we don't have it? Okay. I thought we would have it. Okay, but let's read it. And not by his covenant, but the constitution wherewith he was comforting you when he told us of your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me. This is Apostle Paul. So that I rejoice the more. He was getting a message concerning, the things that, the message I was sent in when he was in Corinth. So he was writing, he says, not by his coming only, the person that he sent, but the consumer, he said, your mourning, your fervent mind towards him, so I just mourn. Next verse, verse 8. Now, this is it. Sometimes leadership will have to do this. This is why I brought this, I believe. So though I made you sorry with the letter, I do not repent. Though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle had made you sorry, though it were but for a season. There's a reason why chastening comes. It's for a season, though. So, said, though I made you sorry. Next verse. Give me the next verse. Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed unto. This is a true father talking. But that ye sorrowed unto repentance, for you were made sorry after a godly manner, that you might receive damage by us in nothing. Next verse. Close to that. For godly sorrow worketh repentance unto what? Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. In other words, it's good to be sorrow in a godly way, sorrowful in a godly way. That is repentance. But to be sorrowful and, you know, you shrug your shoulders, I've done my best, I can't do anything better. So that's the way of death. That's the way of the world, it's working death. Godly sorrow leads to full repentance unto salvation. And so, yes, there'll be times when God will allow you to be, as he scourges every man, every son he receives. Son, no. Not saint. Son. The guy he's given his life completely over. He's not his son. But God will say, scourge him. Don't look at me, friends. Don't worry, God is God. It's not me. You see. God is far more experienced than doing all these things. But the essence is this. When we experience harsh physical and different, even our earthly fathers and mothers do that, it's to turn us away from things that may hinder us, our progress. Turn away from pride, turn away from truancy, turn away from doing things that are inimical to us, our physical progress. Same thing with God. He chastens so that we will not do it again, so we'll understand, like he removed the Jacob. He says he touched the hole of his thigh. Every day of his life, Jacob remembered that encounter with God in the mountain. Every day. And that's what he's talking about here. Something God does to you, it doesn't have to be physical, it can be a spiritual thing. It can be something between you and him. Nobody else has to know. But every time you remember it, you sit up. Say, Kubota share leg. That means it must happen again. That Jacob example is very good. Because for the whole of his life thereafter, I can't remember how many years he lived after he met Jesus and met the Lord on the mountain. But until the day he died, he had evidence of his encounter with God. There was a name change, of course, we all know that, but he bore the physical and said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord. Folks, don't be afraid of chastening. Don't be. Oh, Lord, I'm going to keep me funny. All right. So this is it. Now, the wise thing to do in such a time of tribulation, time of pressure, all of us go through it, is that I said to humble ourselves and to seek God with far greater diligence. And I put far there for emphasis because sometimes we can be diligent but not enough. Hello? You know, you're supposed to get about 6 o'clock, you miss it. And then you're getting about 5:45 or 5:30 the next day, you get about 6:02. And before the prayer starts, you're still weaving around in your bathroom. My job won't see. Why don't you get up at 10 minutes to do all that? So when the prayer gong goes, you're already seated, your Bible's there, your stuff is there, ready. Isn't that better? I'm telling you what God told me. I'm talking from experience. Okay, you are there, but I'm still going to tell you. I still throat, clear your throat. Then my pastor started giving his morning admonition. Intro. And I said, sipping. I take another, just take 10 minutes to do all that. So by the time you're seated, you're ready. Action. Not that they're not going anywhere to go and get anything again. Everything's in front of you. Whatever you need. That's the attitude that I believe God is trying to And not just in prayer. Everything. Anything God asks us to do. With diligence, with precision. Amen? No slack hands. Oh, Lord have mercy. Now, yes, okay, let me see how I continue. Okay, so we've got to do that. Seek God with greater diligence. Yes. Greater, more diligence than we ordinarily would if we're not. And that's why God allows sometimes pressure. Amen? Again, we see this in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. Did we read that before? 2 Corinthians. Give me 12, 7. Give me 12, 7. 12, 7. 12, 7. 12, 7. Thank you. 2 Corinthians 12, 7. Yes, this is Paul now. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to what? Buffet me, so that I should be exalted above measure. Sometimes God allows that. So it keeps you on your toes. Hello? Well, you know that as a messenger of Satan, you get up in the morning. You do all you have to do quickly, quickly, quickly. You won't even think about, overstretching, folks, this is just a kind of example to show that what the kind of attitude we need to have. Sometimes it takes a while to get there because God had to do it for Paul by giving him. But after a while, he says it brings forth the peaceable fruit of righteousness for those who allow themselves to be exercised thereby. Krashaka, it's a choice. You can allow it, or you can say, God, that one is pushing it too much. Hey, allow it. So, it was the messenger of Satan, not God, that was allowed by God to buffet Paul. God doesn't buffet. God is a kind God. He's a good God. He's a wonderful God. He expects all of us to come into knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and to be saved and to fulfill our divine destiny. However, when the need comes and he needs somebody to wake up so that that person can be saved in the future, he allows Satan to do his work. He doesn't commission Satan. Satan is, he doesn't need any, how do I put it? He doesn't need commissioning. That's his job. That's his, he goes runs from the seeking who he may devour. That's his job. That's what he's doing all the time. Because he hates man, you see. So he's looking for anywhere where he can make a dent in the creation of God that will hurt God. And every single soul that came out of man, you know, we're all part of man, part of God. Can you imagine what's going to happen? I can't imagine what's going to happen on the day when he has to open up the gates of hell and put all those people that he created in his image and likeness, their spirits will be in there. It's going to hurt him. It's going to really, really hurt him because that's a part of him. But he has to do it to protect other people who did not transgress in that manner. But I'm telling you, they were there forever. They were there for, because God cannot change his word. But it will always be a reminder to them that there are still some. Just like it's a reminder for everybody throughout the ages not to transgress. It will always be a reminder to God that there are some people that should not be there, that were part of him, came out of him, went out for him, but were lost in place. I thank God for the kind of person he is. Even though it will take out of him, he will keep his word. He will keep it. And that's how we and I should be. Even though it's going to be costly to him, can you imagine millions of souls? That's why he's bending over backwards. If I can just but save a few. But, and he's expecting all of us to have the same mentality. All of us. So he can save as many as possible so that nobody created by God, no man should go there. That was, it was not for him, it was for the devil and his angels. It was not ever meant for any man that God created in his image and likeness. May God have mercy on us all. So that's it. So, here we go. Help me, Father. So it's very important to mention that it was a messenger of Satan, not of God, that allowed Job to experience all the things, that allowed Paul to be buffeted, so that Paul would not be conceited or become proud. And if he was already proud, which he was, Paul was very proud. Amen? But he would humble himself under God. Paul is the pattern disciple. We should follow after him. Follow after God. In Paul. I wrote here, knowledge tends to make one puffed up. And that's the reason why all the afflictions and persecutions come. Affliction and persecution arises for the word's sake. So the Lord allows persecution, allows affliction to arise in our lives because of the word that you have in you, so that we will not become puffed up and will not lean on grace and trust in his mercy and sufficiency through humility. This is how we're going to overcome the tribulation of the times we're in. And there are plenty of them. We're going to have these things in our life, the humility, sufficient humility, sufficient grace, the mercy of God to be able to overcome all the humility, all the tribulations of the present time. So when we now realize our weakness, we realize the vulnerability and the possible, it will not happen, possible destruction by the present ongoing tribulation. It forces us to become strong in the power of God, to be given unto us in sufficient measure, through sufficient grace, through sufficient humility, to perfect love and to, you know, overcome all the difficulties of the age. So this is it, folks. We'll start closing now. I wrote here, humility in sufficient measure gives sufficient grace, through which we get the power of God in sufficient measure to become strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not ours, never forget that, to overcome tribulation. Amen? It starts with humility, especially, folks, I cannot say this enough times, humility to spiritual oversight. Those who are in spiritual authority over us. And it makes sense, total sense. If you can't humble yourself before man, as you can see, how are you going to be humble before a God that is, to your senses anyway, imperceptible? And that's the problem many times. And, you know, God is going to have mercy on us all. And I say us all because all of us have to go through these stages. There's some times when the devil gets in your mind and you start thinking of yourself more highly than you ought to. And then the word comes from your oversight, either directly or through a message like this. And you just kind of receive and you shrug it off. Like you didn't hear. Hello? There's nobody here that has happened to before, I'm sure. None of us have ever experienced that. Eh? You know, God just waits for you, and then He allows the word that was given to teach you never to get puffed up again. By the time God allows that 3 or 4 times, you begin to get the picture that, perhaps it's a good idea to remember that the words that my oversight speaks are not spoken by themselves. And then peradventure, it might be a good idea for you to obey that word so that the benefits of that word can come to you. I don't know, maybe I've said something to some people. Give me 1 Peter. Let me see, yes. 1 Peter chapter 5, 5 and 6. Quickly, please. I'm trying to close now. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Who are in authority over you, spiritual authority? 1, 5, 5 and 6. Look what it says. Likewise, ye younger, what do you say? Submit. Now, in many, thank God it's not in this household, but in many places that word is a very, very bad word. Submit yourself. Now, he doesn't even give you the choice. You do it. You do it. It has to be a choice from yourself. You submit yourself unto the elder, period. I don't know where some of these wonderful people in life, who are also Christians, incidentally, get their own gospel from. But in some places, submission is completely, it doesn't matter. You just do your thing, you go there on Sunday, you just do your thing, and you leave after that. No submission. Now, if you want to submit, you go somewhere else. We don't do that here. All it is, we praise God. We do as the Lord tells us to do. I remember, I'm not saying any names, I'm not making any, but I know there was a particular contention in a particular church a short while ago. And this person wanted to take over the bishopric of the church. And I said, no, you're not capable. You don't qualify. I said, the church belongs to my dad. The church belongs to your dad? Which dad is this, by the way? No. Submit. Submit. Submit to the authority of the church under God. Because when you do that, you submit to God Himself. Let's finish this. We all of you be subject one to another. That's another level. See? They're submitting to the elder. They're being humble and submitted one to another. So in other words, the whole atmosphere in church is, thank God for what Pastor Mayer done. Give all the clap offering for our fathers. You know, this is how the church is built. You're not just going to submit upwards. You also submit across. And guess what? You submit how much to what is necessary. Because God will just test you once in a while and bring a small primary school child. God bring him and come and tell you something. And Who told you? Hey, he tests everybody in all these dimensions, upward, same level, and downwards. Oh, thank you. The cross. Likewise, you submit yourselves, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Folks, the ultimate purpose, by the mercy and grace of God, help me Lord, of God allowing much tribulation is not to hurt, not to destroy, but rather to exalt us to ultimately reign with him in Christ Jesus, like with Christ-like humility. In other words, what's going to qualify us is the humility of Christ in our hearts that qualifies. Oh, I just got a picture that qualifies us to sit at God's throne. I just had a flash from the Book of Revelations. It said that what the elders do every time they took off their hats, and they didn't just take off their hat and put. They bowed down, whatever it is, and they were bowing. They were worshiping God. That's what they do. That's what they're doing. They are reigning, but they are bowing. The cap where God gave them all the honor, all the accolade, everything. They take it up, put it on the ground, and bow down. For all eternity, folks. We need to know the God we're dealing with. Some people in Nigeria say, I'll take what to put you now. Every single minute of eternity. That's what those 24 elders will be doing. Now, we know there will be shifts, or they were. We don't know. We believe there will be shifts. But even those shifts, as they come in, they're casting their crowns to the ground. And they're worshiping God without any of the accolades that men so much desire. To get somebody to take off their cap in church is a big wahala. And there are people who are sitting at the very throne in heaven. They don't think that is anything for them. All they want is just worship. 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 Ah, folks, God will have mercy upon us. We'll get there. Amen. But he exalts us to ultimately reign with Christ Jesus in Christ-like humility. Christ is the pattern. Give me Philippians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, please. Quickly, as we begin to close. Help, Lord. I trust we're getting something out of this. Philippians 2, 8. And being found in fashion as a man, God made into a man. He humbled himself. He humbled himself. Folks, this is the fashion of all men, that all men should obey. So being found in fashion as a man, he humbled. So, man was fashioned to humble himself and to become obedient to God and to die death of the cross. That cross there for us is the cross of obedience, you know, denying self and all that stuff, so that he can raise us up. That's the fashion is the first thing is humility. Humility. The next is obedience. You can't even obey if you're not humble in the first place. So can you see where many people are shortchanging themselves? That, me too, I get now. That's what hinders our being humble. That's what hinders our being obedient. That's what hinders us from crucifying the flesh. And then being resurrected to sit with him in heaven places in Christ Jesus forever at the throne. Right there. Everybody has a place there. Every human being that was created has been created and will be created, has a place at the right hand of the Father. Once you become a Christian, that place is settled. But how many of us, I was going to say, how many empty seats will we find when we get there? And God said, none. All those who don't qualify, their seats are instantly removed. So it will only be those who qualify to have a seat at the right hand of God for eternity. They're the only ones that are going to have seats there. So there'll be no missing seats. You just won't see the person. And I thought he was coming. But he's just worshiping God. Holy. Holy. Humility, folks. Give me Hebrews. Begin to close. Help me, Lord. I'm going to close. We read this the other day, but I believe the Lord grow into my heart again. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 and 11. As we begin to finish. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Oh, Lord. And being found in fashion. Oh, and have you forgotten the exhortation? We speak unto you as unto children, my son. Talking sons. If you're a son of God, this is to you. Despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of. In other words, rebuke is a certainty. Chastening is a requirement. Thank you. You know, it sounds hard. But you know, all these things are the things that are going to take us up to where God is going to take us. We can't, there's no way, you can't hide it under a rock. You can't belittle it. You can't minimize it. On the other hand, you need to pump it up so you can know what it actually takes to sit at that throne and to be able to declare the manifold wisdom of God. It's been all this being checked out. I'm talking to you, I'm talking to myself. These are things that the Lord has, by his mercy, spoken to me also. Hebrews 12, let's start from verse 5. Verse 5, give me a verse, go back to verse 5, then start again, please. Thank you. Go back two verses. Help me, Lord. And you have forgotten the exhortation, and that's the thing many people forget. Don't forget to. Which speaketh unto you as unto children, saying, my son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of another, there's a tendency to do so. Next verse. For whom the Lord loveth, are you sure? If you believe the Lord loves you, put up your hand. If your hand is not up, you need to be ready. If you believe, thank you. Says, whom the Lord loveth. Hello, somebody. The trademark of God's love is chastening. Thank you. One solitary, very much appreciated amen. Folks, this is how God, I'm talking to you with God has been talking to me. Said the hallmark of God's love is that he chastens you. And he says he scourges. You know, chastening is different from scourging. Scourging means like they beat the Lord Jesus Christ. Egbani, thank you. And it's not a small egbani either. That scourging, you know what it does? It brings blood. It brings blood. Every son whom you receive. Next verse. If you endure this kind of chastening, he didn't put that there, but that's what he means. If you endure this kind of chastening, God is dealing with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? If God is your father, and I believe everyone here, and those who listen online, God is your father, he reserves the right to chasten you according to his will. And you must receive it. Next verse. So back up. Verse 7. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? Now, you say you're a son, and I believe all the sons or daughters, that's the case maybe, although we're all sons, we're spiritual sons. Say, Father, say, how can you be a son and not receive chastening? The hallmark of your sonship is the fact that the father chooses to chasten. So I went quiet here. That's the truth. Next verse. If ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers. Now, I didn't say this, but it's a scripture. I'm reading it for the effect that God wants us to have. Then are you bastards and not sons. We will not be bastards in Jesus' name. We will be sons. Amen? Next verse. I think there's another verse or so. Verse 11. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh, we corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection to the fire of spirits and live? You know what the difference is? We see our fathers. Hello? That's the problem. We see our fathers when daddy's coming back from work. All the while I've done, you just quickly pack up everything. You put it back. And by the time he comes in, you're sitting in the sitting room. Welcome, sir. Like, how was that? How are you, sir? What is that? But you know, he might not know what you've been doing, but God sees everything. And you can't pack anything, otherwise he's there 24/7. So he knows, not only does he see what you do, he sees what's in your heart. He sees what's in your mind. And so you know, say, oh, don't deal with that guy now. He's going to go off somewhere and make a mess of his. So he chastens. And he has a lot of people that can, things, people that can use to do that. Because he loves you. But says we have powers in the flesh who corrected, we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of spirits and live? We're talking, the title of this message is Enduring Much Hardness. I can't remember the verse. Much tribulation. Yes, this is it. I'm going to go back to that. So we're sure what we're talking about. It says, enduring and overcoming much tribulation. This is the way to do it. God helps us. He says, shall we not be rather in subjection to the Father, Spirit, and live? Give me another next verse. For verily, they for a few days chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit. In other words, the focus of God's chastening is not God, it's you. It's me. So that what? That we might be part. And I said, might so. It's not a certainty. Depending on how you respond to chastening, how we respond. That we might be partakers of his holiness. Next verse, final verse. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward. In other words, you're going to go through it. But you know, in all that, he's been with you. He said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. He's there with you. He knows what you're going through. He sees every tear you shed. You think you're the one crying in the night? He sees it. He knows what's going on in your innermost being. And that's why he's bringing everything so that he can show you what you need to be, what you need to do in order to become like him, so that the chastening will cease and the fellowship will grow and grow and grow. It's a perfect plan, folks. God is not interested in anybody being destroyed. He's not willing that anybody should perish, but that all should come to know the truth. And more importantly, all should sit at his right hand in his throne room forever. It's an invitation. Lord, have mercy upon. So this is it. Let me just try and finish quickly. Thank you, Jesus. It's a word of exhortation. Okay. So, humility is sufficient. In sufficient measure gives sufficient grace, through which we get the power of God in sufficient measure to become strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, not our might, to overcome tribulation. Notice it starts with humility, especially to humility, like we just said, to those who are in authority. Very, very important. God will grant us mercy to humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Amen. And so how do we endure and respond to and overcome tribulation? Well, first of all, we must recognize that the purpose of the tribulation is not to destroy. It's not never to destroy. It only comes to destruction when we don't do the things we should do. That will not be our portion. It's never to destroy, but rather, and it's not to diminish or debase us, but rather to exalt us to reign in Christ like he does in humility. Amen? So the antidote to all this is just to humble yourself. Crucify the flesh, the nature overcome, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. We know all these things. I'm not saying we haven't been taught before. You know, and the pride of life through daily prayer and the Spirit. We travail. That was a big contention once, but I don't think anybody's contending that again. We travail in the way the Lord Jesus Christ did. And we saw it said in Hebrews 5:7. Give me that. Let me just read that. In the days of his flesh. Hallelujah. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered. Now, this is the Lord Jesus. No sin. Nothing. Just pure divine attributes. But he was a man. No sin. Who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and he was heard in that he feared. Folks, that's the antidote right there. That's the how. And I want to thank God again for the Father's House. They've been preaching this thing for years and years. We, some of us, have maybe been taking it a little bit for granted. But I'm telling you, this message has to go to the entire world. Entire Christian world. In fact, the entire world, not just Christian world. This is the only way. You must break up that fallow ground. It will not do any other way. Nobody can pray you into perfection. They can help you, but they can't pray. You have to do it yourself. Because it's your body. It's your mind, your will, your emotions, your physical body, your circumstances is in contention. And it is committed to you. Your land. You till it. I wrote Luke chapter 9. Give me Luke chapter 9, 23 and 24 as we begin to close. Luke 9, 23, 24. Luke 9, 23, 24. Thank you. Luke chapter 9. And he said to them all, this is all Jesus, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross once a week. On Sunday, just if you borrow only, and you can't go out to do something. Yeah. We have all kinds of, I'm just fooling around a bit. There are all kinds of variants to this particular, you know, kind of, it says daily. And follow. Follow me, that means follow my example. And you do not, you do not follow his example unless you follow after those he has put in authority. So, daily, follow those in authority whom I have appointed in authority as they follow me. That's the only way. I mean, I burst some bubbles. You probably think you're going to follow God right by yourself. No, God said, follow my people. Follow those I put in authority over you. First, it's only through them you get to me. And Lord, give us understanding. So, I've said here that, I said a minute, the perfect way to learn all this, thank God for the goodness of the Lord through our fathers who have created the perfect forum for doing all these things. Every day, 5 o'clock in the morning. Good morning, Jesus. Under the covering of fathers. It's divinely set so that you are under a leadership that God recognizes. Hey, it's not even leadership that God recognizes. It's not even that says, Lord, Lord, that he says, you're my son or my daughter too. There are those who God has designated, particularly for this purpose and time that we're in now. Those who God has given the secret. And the secret. It's not everyone that knows it. The secret to how to perfect the body of Christ. It's not everyone that has that secret. I don't even know other things. Sometimes when I look on online, I just wonder sometimes. Nobody's talking about. I don't know if I've seen, but very few people like, you know, Billy Brim, and you know, I look at the things, talk about this sometimes, and so, you know, one or two of that, I rarely see messages talking about intercessory prayer. They talk about intercession, but not to the point that is the avenue, the road to becoming like Christ. They just talk about, you know, things on a daily basis, and you know, the whole day will go well, you know, you'll be able to hear Jesus. Yes. But there's a purpose. The purpose is to create a body that he can inhabit. A people called by his name that will declare his glory in the earth. And they will know and say, this is our God. We wait. They're not going to see God, though, except through us. This is our God. So they'll come. He didn't say they saw God and they bowed down. They said they'll see. They'll come and will come to you in chains, bowing down. This is our God. We've waited. Somebody's waiting for us. Somebody's waiting for us somewhere. I don't know where we're going to go. Maybe Afghanistan. Maybe Gaza. The outermost parts of the earth. Well, this is the process. So each day, get up early morning, 5 o'clock. Oh, no, let me reverse that. Get up in the 4:45. 4:45, 4:50. We don't get up at 5 o'clock. 5 o'clock is already, we're already in play. So the essence is, ideally, you get up and maybe an hour and a half, you know, to pray. But I mean, okay, let's say, assume they are coming on board for the first time. You know, get up, 4:45. So by 5, you're seated waiting. God says, and you say, it's better for you to be waiting on God than for God to be waiting for you to come in. That's the correct order. That's the correct reverence. And it goes for fathers too. You should be waiting for them. And those who are sitting waiting for you, fairly. No. Out of order. And God have mercy on us. I didn't plan to say that. So 5 a.m. you can, you know, join us on Good Morning Jesus. You can download the app on the church website also. And just follow the prompting of the fathers, amen? Just stay there. Just be there. Soak in the ambience, if you want to call that, the spirit. No. Just follow the steps. Starting with worship, the fear of God daily, and finish that watching and praying always, and praying frequently in tongues throughout the rest of the day. And, you know, I have come to see by the merciful application that when you do it that way, it actually helps you keep your mind focused and stayed on God, if not all, at least most of the day, as you do it, because, you know, and I know I'm not there, but I'm improving, and I can see that improvement. So you're having constant, you're asking God, you know, especially when you have, you know, some things in front of you, asking, Lord, what do I do in this place? What do I tell this person? How do I say this? I don't know. You know, it's like you're talking to somebody and the thoughts are just trickling in. I don't know how to describe it. I'm sure you all know what I'm talking about. But that's what it's all about. Because when you wake up in the morning and you pray and you have this wonderful atmosphere, I call it a glow, you know? Then as you sit down, you talk to God, you read your Bible, and things open. I didn't sit down. And it works all the time. And God has just given us on a platter. Folks, we are debtors. Nobody said amen. We are debtors. Particularly in this house, under the covering and the leadership that we have, we are debtors. And I know, by the grace and the mercy of God, He's faithful. What God has planted, He will surely bring fruit from. The only thing that we need to know that we need to cooperate fully with our minds. Yes, there's going to be trouble. Tribulation will come. And say, tribulation arises for the world's sake. And the more word, the more the tribulation will not be allowed. But we're more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. God will have mercy. Folks, we're on the winning side, though. Don't be worried. I've gone to a point where by mercy and grace, I said, Lord, this is your battle. I will fight, too, but ultimately, you're the one who's going to give me the victory. So this is it, folks. Keep our minds, as says, I think it was Psalms, 119, 165. Let's look at that as we close. The law of the Lord is perfect. Psalms 119, 105. 165. Psalms 119, 165. Psalms 119, 165. Yeah. No, is it 16? 16 what? Where it says, great peace have the Lord that because mine is still. Uh-huh. Okay, I thought so. Great peace. I said, was that the Hebrew word at the beginning? I said, what's that? Great peace have they which love thy law and nothing, tell you about nothing, shall offend you. Nothing. And like Pastor Banks said once, the essence of offend is to take you off the end that God has planned for. This will not happen. This is not. But the essence is you must love that law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus that sets us all free from the law of sin and death. Nothing, as you bade, shall offend us. In Jesus' name, let's ask the Lord to help us as we close. Sister Abidemi, the law of the Lord. I plead to the Lord and just ask for help. I believe with all my heart that all I've said today is not new to most of us, if not all of us here. All it means is now just a reshuffling, resettling, realignment. To humble ourselves. That's the key there.
The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the sin. To be
so than the honey.
the fear of the Lord is clean.
Enduring forever.
The judgments of the Lord are true.
The righteous all together.
And righteous all together.
For
to be desired, and they that go, they that must find gold.
Sweeter
also than the honey,
and the honeycomb,
and the honeycomb.
Let the words of my mouth.
Yes, sir. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you so very much for your great mercies upon us tonight. Thank you for this word of encouragement, this word, Lord God, of instruction and admonition. Lord God, teaching us, Lord God, to step up our act, to humble ourselves, to seek your face with even greater fervor and greater diligence. Lord God, to be able to stand in this day of evil, having done all to stand therefore. We say thank you, O Lord God, because by your great mercy, Lord God, you cause us to perfect that law of love. Lord God, no more being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by every difficulty, every slight of men, but now speaking your truth and love. Grow up into Christ in all things, which is the head, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, O Lord God, because if we obey your statutes, they will cause rejoicing in each of our hearts. Yes, your commandments to us, we say, are pure. They will enlighten our eyes. Your fear, O Lord, to us in our hearts is clean, enduring forever. And your judgments, O Lord, that are true and righteous, are in our lives, in our hearts, more to be desired than gold and fine gold and silver. And your commandments are sweeter to us than honey and the honeycomb. And so we thank you, Lord God, because you have mercy upon us. And under the covenant of our fathers, you grant us the wisdom, the grace, Lord God, and the help to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, to do all these things, so that Lord God will stand perfect and complete in all of your will in this day of your showing, being no more tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men with cunning craftiness who lie in wait to deceive, but speaking your truth in love, we grow up into in all things which is the Christ. Have mercy upon us, let the words of our mouth, all the meditations of our heart, be accepted in your sight continually, O Lord, our strength, our God, our Redeemer, in Jesus' name. If you have a need for healing, simply raise your hand, touch the place where it's hurting you, wherever the need is. If you also need a financial miracle, wherever you are, just raise your hand up and we'll pray and the Lord will have mercy upon us and bring it to pass. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for choosing, Lord God, to humble yourself and to look down from heaven upon our assembly today. Thank you, Lord, for providing the covering of our fathers. So under the Lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ, under the covering of fathers, we come to ask for healing. We said healing is your children's bread. For everyone that has raised their hand or is touching a part of their body in which they need healing, whether they be here or they be online, those listening online through the website, we say now we send forth the word of life. We say, be healed and be made whole in the name of Jesus. The Lord rebuked the devourer for your sake. You will not destroy the fruits of your ground. So your body is healed from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. We command every need to be met for those who believe in financial miracles. We send forth the word of life, the word of provision to go forth to meet every need. So there be no lack, for you are our shepherd, Lord. Therefore, we, your people, shall not want in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for you are faithful and will do more than we can ask, more than we can think. As we have prayed in the wonderful, matchless, exalted name of Jesus, under the covering of fathers. In Jesus' name, amen.